There's plenty of donuts out there, so grab plenty of those so I don't have to eat them. My name's JJ Sly, like Becca said. I am part of the leadership team, and I'm getting some instructions from the front row. Oh. Gotcha. So Becca forgot an announcement. We have a welcome desk out there. If this is your first time with us, which a lot of you it is, stop by that welcome desk. We have a gift for you. It'll tell you about, it'll give you, I don't know if you've noticed, but fire has been a theme for us. We're red, we're orange, we're yellow. Part of our vision is to be a church on fire for Jesus. And if you get your gift bag, you'll understand more about that. So stop by the Welcome Center on your way out. Somebody will be there to greet you. Fill out a connect card so we can connect with you and know that you were here today and get a gift bag. Is that good? Good deal. Awesome. Welcome once again. You've been welcomed several times, but I haven't got a chance to welcome you. So I'm going to welcome you again to Full Circle Church. Wow. Wow. It's here. The day is here. The pivotal day in the history of church as we know it is here. You may not know what I'm saying, but I'm here to tell you that this is a day that is changing the way church happens in our hearts and lives from this moment forward. We're doing something new. God is doing something new in our hearts and lives, and we hope that you would want to be a part of it too. It's a new era in the body of Christ. You may think to yourself, well, every church starts out saying, we have something new for you. This is going to be new and fresh and something different. But I'm saying it again because it's true. We have decided, the leadership team of Full Circle Church have decided in our hearts that we're not going to settle for anything less than the very best that God has for us. And we're going to chase after it and go after it until we get it. And we want to invite you along for the ride. If you could ask a God question, one question, what would you ask him? What would you ask God? What would you ask? Would you ask him about creation? Would you ask him how he created the stars? Would you ask him about the cross? Would you ask him about his return? The USA Today did a survey asking Americans the question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? 80% of Americans surveyed said they would want to know God's will and purpose for their life. 80% want to know what God's will and purpose is for their life. From my ministry experience over the past several years, it is easily the single most asked question. What am I here for? What is God's purpose for my life? Sadly, for most people, myself included at a time, finding out what God's will on my life was like playing a crazy game of pin the tail on a donkey, blindfold myself, spin myself in circles, and try to pin the tail on what God's will and purpose is for my life. For a long time, this is how I felt trying to decipher God's will for my life. I felt like I was stammering in the dark trying to find a needle in the haystack, only to realize that what I was projecting was my ambitions on God and expecting him to join me in my life pursuits. That's not God's intention for us to live a life of abundance in him. His intention is to show us absolutely every single step to walk in the good and perfect will that he has for us. He is so detailed, he will not leave anything out. He's such a detailed God. He's not leaving anything out for you to find out your will and your purpose, why you're here, why he created you. He wants to show you every step on how to get there. This morning, I've titled the message I'm going to speak about that God laid on my heart, Uncaged. It's time for us to come out of the cage and be a lion on top of the cage, outside of the cage. I've got to be honest. I stole this message title from my wonderful wife. We were communicating this past week via text message about a few things. And she kept dropping these truth bombs, these nuggets on me. I was like, I text her back. I was like, maybe you should preach this week. You should take the mic and preach. And she sent me this GIF, whatever they're called, GIF. Eli, can you put that up there? Of this lion struggling And she said, I'm just over here like, let me out of my cage. And I was like, thank you. I was looking for a title from a message, and you gave it to me. This is God's heart for us. We have been pinned up, held up, tied up, and bound up too long. It's time for us to take a stand and understand who we are in Him so we can capture His heart in ours and go out and make a difference in our community. We are made to live a life of freedom and grace. We are not made to be pinned up in a cage. We are made to be set free and on fire for Jesus. He is ready to uncage us all into His perfect purpose and will for our lives. We have settled for a life of human ability and have missed out on our kingdom calling, but it's never too late to start. We can start today by posturing ourselves in a place that's like, okay, God, I'm ready to get out of my cage. And we're going to talk about how we can be free and get out of our cage this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for making this moment, for creating this moment, for thinking about this moment. At the very creation, you knew this moment was here. You knew these people would be here. You knew every single heart that would be represented here today, God. And you knew what you were going to pour into them. And I pray, God, that today we leave here with the reality knowing that you are detailed, you're gracious, you're generous, and you have mercy on us. And you want us to live a life of abundance. You want us to live a life of freedom. So, God, open our hearts. May we be receptive to you today. God, touch my heart, touch my lips. May I communicate everything that you want to communicate today. I get rid of my agenda and my plan, God, and replace it with yours. And say, have your way in my heart, have your way in everybody's heart today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's time. We talk about timing. God's timing's perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. He's not surprised by anything. It's time for us to understand. As a church, you might not know Jesus yet, but I'm going to introduce you to him today, introduce you to this Jesus I'm talking about. And it's time for us to understand that with him for us, if God is for us, if Jesus Christ is on our side, nothing, absolutely nothing can stand against us. Nothing can stand against us as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We sung a song, I speak the name of Jesus. There's nothing that's greater than the name of Jesus. Everything that you're bound by, everything that has you tied up cannot keep you that way in the name of Jesus. It's time for us to quit beating around the Christianity bush. The time for that has come and gone. It's time for us to take back some of the ground that the enemy has stolen from his church. God has given us the ability to go to war and win. We have that ability in us. How about we find out how? How do we understand and walk in the will and purpose of God? First, we have to understand that we are at war. It is a war. We are in a spiritual battle every single day. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Scroll with me to Hebrews 12 or just listen. I'm going to read it. Beginning to read with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses of the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. The writer of Hebrews is telling us here that we have the power in us and around us to overcome and keep pushing forward. The enemy would have you believe that when you face a trial, when you face something hard, it's time to retreat and get back in your cage. God would have you believe that when that thing comes before you, it's time for you to tap into his strength, tap into his grace, and stay out of that cage and push forward and fight. God is saying, unleash the beast that he has placed inside of you. He has placed something in each and every one of our hearts that has equipped us. equipped us to fight the battle every day. It's time for us to fight the good fight, keep the faith. God has opened the cage door of our heart. It's time for us to walk out, simply walk out of the cage and go to battle. We have to understand that we're not fighting against each other. When we face trials in life, sometimes there's other people involved. We're not fighting against them. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. In Ephesians 6, it says we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. The good news about our fight, we don't have to do it alone. God has given us a helper to go to war with us. And it's the best helper you can ever find. It's the biggest, most brightest general of any army that you would ever come across, and it's the Holy Spirit. And it's in our weakness when we understand that we can't do it on our own. That's when we are made strong. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for the cross, for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What Paul is saying here is without the power of Christ, I am weak. But when we activate that power through faith is when we gain the strength that we need to fight the battle. The enemy would have us believe that we are weak, and that's it, period. God is saying, tap into my power when you feel weak, and we can overcome anything together. I'm tapping into, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to tap into that portal of power. That when I face something in my life, I know that his grace is sufficient, and he'll see me through it. We have the power to overcome addiction. We have the power to overcome any thought pattern that doesn't line up with the goodness of God. We have power to overcome fear. We have power to overcome anxiety. We have the power to overcome any obstacle that you face. But we have to tap into that portal and be humble before God and say, I am weak, but with you, I am made strong. We have to tap into the portal of power that he has given us and position ourselves to better understand his will and his purpose for our lives. I need you to understand that the tactics of the devil, I need you to understand the tactics of the devil today so you can be aware and know when to tap in to the power portal. God gave me a specific word. I shared it with somebody else this week, but I feel like it's for one person here today, maybe more than one. The enemy is looking to break you before God takes you to the next place. That's what the enemy is out to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. He's looking to break you. And you're on the edge of that thing that God created you for. Because of that, the warfare on your life is as intense as it ever has been. It's as if the devil summoned all of his demons to stand in front of you so you couldn't see the door that God wanted you to walk through. I'm here to tell you today, walk. When God calls you to something and you say yes, walk. Because the enemy has to move. He has no choice but to get out of your way. Walk. God has gone before you. Walk towards the door that God has placed in front of you. Walk. The enemy will move. God's promises are yes and amen. And when he opens up a door, no man can shut it. And when he closes a door, no man can open it. Walk through the door that God has placed in front of you. Just walk and the enemy will be scattered. In Revelation 3, it says this, write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. Walk towards the door. The enemy will move. You are standing right in front of your promise. It's right there in front of you. Walk through the door. Just walk. The enemy will get out of your way. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Walk with confidence, walk tall, walk with courage. God is for you. No man can be against you. Secondly, we have to be open to God's ideas. We have to have an open heart for His ideas. Proverbs 16:1 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. We can spend all the time in the world spending our precious time coming up with a perfect plan for our life. And I'm not here to tell you that the plan that you come up with wouldn't be successful or wouldn't work or wouldn't give you the happiness and joy you need. But I'm here to tell you the perfect plan without God, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist without God. Your plan will be way harder than it should be. Your plan, you will face more trials than you need to. Your way is not the right way. Why do you think it is? Why do you think it's like that? I'll just tell you about my personal life. Becca and I, we had a plan. We had a plan until about 6 months ago. Our plan was to build our business. Our plan was to start another business. Our plan was to raise our children, go to their activities, be present there. Our plan was to become foster parents. The list of our plans go on and on and on. On and on. We decided maybe ministry's not in the cards for us this season. We decided that we would make our own plan of what our life was going to look like. We spent time executing that plan. We spent time building our business. We spent time with our children, doing those things, going to church when it was convenient. But there was always something that was missing. You know, there was always something that wasn't there. And deep down, I knew what it was, but I didn't want it to come to the surface because I was comfortable and happy in my plan. I was okay with having that void in my life because the superficial other things kind of masked that void. It was about that time we were settling into our perfect plan that we had for our life. My brother, Travis, walks by us. I think we were vacationing together. And he said, hey, I want you to pray about Full Circle. I said, okay. You got anything? Nope. I just want you to pray about what Full Circle means. I said, okay, I'll pray about that if it fits into my plan. I'll spend time in prayer if it fits into my plan that I have in the time that I have planned. And, I mean, we're here today. So, obviously God spoke. But we didn't come up with this. We didn't say, hey, let's go start a church. That was not on our radar. We were comfortable where we were in our plan. But God. When God speaks, just like I was talking about, walk towards that door. When He speaks and tells you to walk towards the door, you walk to it. And over the past 6 months, we've been walking through doors to get here today. This is God's idea. This isn't our idea. We didn't decide in our hearts that we wanted to do this. This is something that God birthed in our hearts, and it's His plan. We would have been comfortable doing our own thing. I think I can speak for Corey and Travis. They have plenty going on in their lives to not plan to start another church. But God's perfect plan, when you're walking in His perfect plan and His will, everything else just falls in. It just lines up. You have the capacity to do the things you didn't think you would have the capacity to do if you would say yes to God. Come on. If you say yes to God and think He won't give you the capacity to do the things that you enjoy, the things that bring you life, the things that raise your kids, go to their activities, you're wrong. God is so detailed. He knows exactly what he's doing, and His timing is impeccable. His time's not our time, because when He calls us, He makes us uncomfortable sometimes. Like, He's made us uncomfortable, I know that. He's made our family uncomfortable over these past 6 months. But His grace is sufficient. I'm going to pose a question to you. What would change in your life if you didn't have the pressure of coming up with a plan? What would change in your life if you didn't hold that pressure of coming up with a plan for your life, a plan of success? Proverbs 16:2 says this, "People may be pure in their own eyes. We think our plans are pure, our motives are pure, but the Lord examines our motives. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed." When our actions are committed to Him, our plan is actually His plan. It's not our plan anymore. When we commit ourselves to Him, we're actually walking in His plan. The plan has already been made. He made the plan for our lives, our perfect plan from the very beginning. We just have to, number one, battle. We have to pray. We have to read His word. We have to fellowship with other believers and know that we're not alone and go to battle for the very best that He has for us. We have to posture ourselves in a place of surrender to Him and His will for our lives. Finally, this one may seem like the most simple, but yet it's the most difficult. We have to say yes to God. We have to say yes to God. Paul says it great in Galatians. The Apostle Paul is just amazing. Just the truth that he has given us to live by and walk this life is amazing. "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." When we come into a relationship with God, it's no longer a me show. It's no longer about me and my feelings and what I want. We have to posture ourselves in a place of surrender to God so we can understand what His perfect will is for our life. I'm sorry, I got to take this off. I'm sweating. Whew. It's that fire. It's the tangible presence of God. I really feel like it is. I mean, the air conditioner's on, the fans are on. Like, it's the tangible presence of God that makes us feel warm. It's just the way that God says, "Hey, I'm with you. I'm here." Is anybody else warm or is it just me? It's warm in here, right? The air conditioners are on. It's the Holy Spirit is making it known, "Hey, I'm with you. I'm here." And sometimes it's not always comfortable when I'm here. Because when I speak sometimes, it gets uncomfortable. Because you might have to change the way you think. You might have to change the way you act. You might have to change the way you perceive life. It gets uncomfortable sometimes. And that's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Because we have to realize, even in our uncomfortability, is that a word? Uncomfortability. Even when we're uncomfortable, even when we feel like we can't take it anymore, that's when we tap into that weakness that I was talking about, when we understand that it's not about us, and when we understand that we can't do it on our own and we don't have the power, we don't have the strength, we tap into God, and then we're made strong. Because when we tap into that power portal, it's special. I'm not saying that if you tap into it right here, the heat's going to go away. But I feel like it's the Holy Spirit around us. We have to be aware of the voice of God and listen. Like, He speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us from pulpits. He speaks to us through our friends. He speaks to us through His word. He speaks to us through just nudges in our heart. We have to listen. I think that's one of the things that's hardest I'll just speak for myself. It's hardest for me. What's hard for me is not to tell God everything that I need or everything needs to happen, but listen to Him and what He says needs to happen. That's why we have two ears, one mouth, because we need to listen a little bit more than we tell God. I mean, can we just be honest? God knows everything. He knows what you need. He knows what you need to get to the next thing. If we just posture ourselves in a place of listening, we will be able to hear that thing. I'm going to share with you what obedience will do for you, what saying yes to God, what listening to God will do. And I'll share a personal story. When my daughter Ivy Page came home from school one day and says, "Hey, Dad, can I tell you a story?" I said, "Sure, honey, tell me a story." And when you listen to the story and it moves your heart, you have to share it in your message because it's for today. Out of the mouth of little ones, if we allow our little ones to speak to us, we can change. So I want to share a story with you, the same story. Ivy Page recounted the story of Abraham and Sarah being promised a son. And it moved me because it's a picture of obedience, like such obedience that if I was in that place, I don't know. I can't say because I'm not in that place, but crazy obedience. Just to give you a little context, this will be extremely paraphrased for the sake of time. But you'll get the point. In Genesis, Abraham and Sarah tried and tried to have children on their own. They couldn't. Sarah was barren. So Abraham had a son with one of Sarah's servants. Some time had passed, and God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that he would give them a son. But they were old, like 100 years old. And they laughed like, "Yeah, right, that can't happen." But you know, when God says something, he's going to do it, right? He did it. He did it. Sarah got pregnant, and they had a son named Isaac. And we'll pick up the story in Genesis 22. Settle in for a moment, because I'm going to read it all, because it's all impactful for obedience. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little further and we'll worship there, and then we'll come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked together. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He then tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes, Abraham," replied, "here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy." The angel said, "Whew. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld even from me, your son. This is obedience. Crazy obedience. You can read more of the story. I can't get to it. Crazy obedience. That when we say yes, when we give God our yes, he provides everything. He provides the way. He provides the resources. He provides the sustenance. He provides a way, just like he did for Abraham. What Abraham did was said yes to God. and through faith knew that God would give a way. You and I have that same access. We have the same access to provision. We have the same access to for God to provide a way for us. All he's asking for us to do is say yes. Just say yes to who he is. Say yes to his goodness. God has a calling on each of our lives. Each of us are called to different things, but we're called to his kingdom. You might think you're called to the marketplace. You might think you're called to wherever it is, to your job. You might be called there, but it's because of the kingdom that you're there. And God wants you to say yes. And he'll provide everything you need. All you have to do is say yes. I think I can finish the story now. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. How could he not have seen it before? Like, how could he have not seen the ram? Like, was the ram, like, tiptoeing around? No. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. This is the covenant that God is making with his people. That when we obey him, he will bless us. He will make a legacy of in our lives that generations to come will reap the harvest from. It's not just about us and tomorrow. It's about a legacy of the kingdom in our family that changed the trajectory of our family for forever. Forever and ever. That's God's covenant with us. We need this crazy obedience just to say yes. Just say yes. That's all he's asking is to say yes to the thing that he's put before you. Say yes to him. Say yes to the promises that he has on your life. And when you say yes, remember when you're walking and you see the enemy in front of you, keep walking. Walk tall. Walk with confidence and walk with courage because the enemy will be scattered. I'm going to close a little bit different today. We're going to close with a worship song. And I want you to listen to the lyrics of this song. Listen to the lyrics. If you want to sing along, you can. But I just want you to hear from God through the lyrics of the song because they're so powerful. They're so true, and they're so good. And then I'll come back up right after and close us out. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you want to do in the presence of God. Just let this song minister to your heart. Let it be what God intends for it to be for you in this moment. God, your faithfulness is so great. It's so real. You may be in here this morning. I just want to give a couple response invitations. Number one, this God, this Jesus that I've been talking about, if you're in here this morning and don't know him and you want to, we can do that today. You can tap into the very best that God has for you today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait until you get it all together. But we can pray today. And if you believe, we'll just do a corporate prayer together. It'll be simple. Everybody, if you can just repeat after me, and if you say this prayer and you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, the Bible tells us you'll be saved and Jesus will enter your heart. Let's just do that together. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins and purchase me a place in heaven. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need your grace. Enter my heart today and cleanse me, purify me, and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us that if one person said that, there's a celebration that goes on in heaven. So can we celebrate? We don't know. I don't know everybody's heart in here. Only God knows your heart. But I believe that there was somebody in here that said that prayer for the first time or maybe the second time. Maybe you gave your heart back to Jesus. Now you're ready to walk in his perfect plan for your life. And the second declaration that I would like for us to pray together is a declaration of giving ourselves to him and saying yes to the best. Saying yes to the best in which he has for our life. So if you want to say yes to the very best, just stand with me. God has so much more for us than we can comprehend or even hold or even think or even imagine. Declare this with me. Repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. Release us from any limitations that we or others or the enemy have put on our life that have kept us from the great plans that you have for us. Today we are committing to follow you with our whole heart. I want your spirit to lead my every step. I want my heart to be open to embrace the amazing plans that you have for my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Very best is yet to come, people. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come for your life. I encourage you, while I dismiss, don't forget to get your picture. Circle. Everything. If you haven't noticed, there's a common theme, circles. We believe circles, full circles. Share it on social media. Stop by, fill out a Connect card if you're a first-time guest. Get your gift. And finally, come back next week and hear Pastor Travis bring a word. Just to let you know, at Full Circle Church, our mission is to follow Jesus, cultivate relationships, and change the world. We're going to spend the next 3 months dissecting those mission steps, and Travis is going to kick us off next week with following Jesus, and you'll hear from different speakers. We have guest speakers coming in to help us edify the body in different ways. But come back next week and hear from Pastor Travis, and get donuts and coffee on your way out too. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for our very first service at Full Circle Church. We love you. Be blessed today.